listening to Fox Sports Radio. This is Straight Out of Vegas with the voice of Vegas, your host, RJ Bell. The pregame show America has always wanted. I doubt the future. I doubt the future. From the Vegas Strip, here's RJ Bell.
That's right, straight out of Vegas here, Fox Sports Radio. You can always check out the show on the iHeartRadio app as we will give you the point of view from Las Vegas and beyond all the way up until 7 p.m. Eastern time here on Fox Sports Radio. Jonas Knox in, RJ Bell is out for today, but I did not come empty-handed. Ladies and gentlemen, he is back. Round of applause for Steve Fezzik, who is back. He took a one-day hiatus. There's been some rumors, some reports that, Fez, you were out because of all the scandals at Northwestern. You didn't want to have to answer for it. So I don't know if you want to speak on that now or if you want to save it for hour two.
Hey, we run a completely clean program. There's a reason we can't win any games.
There it is. So Steve Fezzik is here. He is our NBA NFL expert. Alongside Fez and myself will be Brad Powers, college football, college basketball expert as well. Brad, March Madness is here. There's all sorts of tournaments. I can't even keep the conferences straight, but I know you're fired up for March.
Absolutely. Just know one thing. Bet the under in the championship game and be all set, Jonas. If you want to go from a square to a pro, there you go.
Okay, so just a general feeling, the under in the championship. Now, is that the NCAA championship game in like a month from now?
No, that's any conference tournament championship game.
No, if you were to bet that, just to give quickly, if you had to give a percentage on that, say there are 30 championship games, conference championship games, how many of those, if you bet the under, would you hit on?
Last 10 years, if you have blindly bet on it, Jonas, you'd hit 58%, and you would have had 9 straight winning seasons. There's 32 conference championship games, so winning basketball picks each and every year for 9 consecutive seasons.
Now, I have to chime in, though, because the memo has gone out on this one. So literally, the second that the odds makers are putting up a total on any championship game, especially a lesser conference championship game when both teams need to win to get in, we are seeing that total get bet down literally 4 points, oftentimes in 40 seconds, Jonas.
Yeah, but you know what, though? Let's not bury the lead. I mean, Christmas in March, you guys just gave out a tip that I've never heard before. That is amazing. So there it is, getting everybody set up for these conference championship games in college basketball. From college basketball to the big story in sports over the past 16 to 24 hours, and it was the trade of Odell Beckham, who is gone. He is gone from the Giants, now a member of the Cleveland Browns, and in return, a first-round pick and a third-round pick, and Jabril Peppers goes to, easy for me to say, goes from the Browns to the Giants. So, guys, just coming off the heels of these news that came out that Odell Beckham is now a member of the Cleveland Browns, what are the odds on the Browns now to try and win a Super Bowl for Cleveland?
So, at the start, this is even prior to the Super Bowl being played, Jonas, the Cleveland Browns were 30-1 to win the upcoming Super Bowl, Super Bowl 54. Where did that rank Cleveland? Right around the middle of the pack of the NFL. If you stack ranked them, who has the shortest odds, meaning who has the best chance to win the Super Bowl compared to the worst, Cleveland was tied for 14th. Now, after the Odell Beckham trade, Cleveland's already up to 14-1 to win the Super Bowl. Now, where does that rank Cleveland? Fifth in the NFL, only behind the Rams, the Chiefs, the Saints, and the Patriots, the four teams that played in championship games a year ago. Cleveland's right after those teams.
And we got to put this in perspective because, frankly, I can't remember a time where I've ever seen this before where we've got a team that's been completely inept for literally 3 decades, Cleveland. The last 3 years, they've won 8 games, not on average each year, 8 games in total. They have arguably a bottom 10 coach in Kitchens. And they have a quarterback that almost anyone who would stack rank quarterbacks would put in the bottom half of the league. And yet they're the number 3 pick to win in the AFC and a top 5 pick to win the Super Bowl. Irrational exuberance on the Cleveland Browns.
It feels like beef jerky from a 99-cent store. You go in there and you're starving, and beef jerky from a 99-cent store may as well be prime rib from the best steakhouse in Vegas. The reality is it's dog food that they put in a Ziploc bag and threw it in the freezer for a couple of weeks and put it out there for 99 cents. Like, this feels like they're just so hungry for anything, and any news is good news in Cleveland, so now everybody's jumping for joy because the Browns have Odell Beckham. I don't know. I'm a little hesitant to give the Browns that much love. I know Colin Cowherd earlier today on Fox Sports Radio, he talked about some of the expectations that the Browns will now face in their division.
This morning, Super Bowl contenders, Cleveland Browns. Oh, the temperature in the room has changed, my friends. New head coach that he picked, star wide receiver who's going to want 14 targets, tougher schedule, no more three interception games. Expectations change everything. By year two, no more rookie mistakes, no more nonsense. Baker Mayfield's odds to win the Super Bowl are greater than Carson Wentz, greater than Russell Wilson, greater than Big Ben, greater than Phillip Rivers, greater than Andrew Luck. Oh, the temperature in the room, my friends, has changed.
So that was Colin Cowherd on The Herd that you can hear on many of these Fox Sports Radio affiliates earlier today. Fez, from a power ranking standpoint, you do this as well as anybody. Where do you have Cleveland with the addition of Odell Beckham?
I like the addition. I upgraded Cleveland. They're currently my number 12 team in the NFL. And frankly, it's really just below Dallas, Seattle, and Minnesota. So Cleveland is just barely missing the top 10 in the NFL, but top five, no way.
Yeah, so that's a big reach then to put them in a top five Super Bowl contender when they're sitting at 12, which is, you know, barely into the top half of the league. Brad, where do you stand? Odell Beckham, obviously an upgrade. They've got two dynamic wide receivers. The offense looks shiny. It looks fantastic. Baker Mayfield showing all the promise in the world. What concerns you about the Browns?
I'll start with the head coach, Freddie Kitchens, who's never been a head coach before. In fact, I mean, prior to last season, only has, what, a half year of experience being a coordinator. And now not only a first-time head coach, but now you got a lot of, I would say, demanding personalities in that locker room. Odell Beckham, Baker Mayfield. How does a relatively new coach with no experience handle all this extra pressure among the players not used to handling a lot of pressure very well? That's one of my, probably one of the biggest question marks I have is actually the head coach, Freddie Kitchens.
You know, one of my biggest question mark with the Cleveland Browns is who is betting the Browns? For the past 4 years now, all we've seen is money coming on the Browns. Back in 2016, when they had six different starting quarterbacks, seemingly money would come on them each and every week. They go in 2017 with Kaiser, the Kaiser experiment, and they could not win a game, and yet money would come on them every week, and certainly last year as well. It's almost like, you know, the New England Patriots seemingly get money against them on a weekly basis, despite years and years of excellence. And yet Cleveland is a bettor's darling here in Las Vegas. And if they bet Cleveland when they were losing all these games, imagine what the bettors are going to do when they start winning.
I actually think it's an interesting move for the Browns. I'm just not sure if it's a great one because they're going to be one of the most enjoyable teams to cover and watch and follow, which is a win for Cleveland that they do have an entertaining product to put out there. But this could go so many different ways. I don't think anybody here would be surprised if I were to tell you, hey, the Browns went 11-5 and they're in the postseason, or hey, the Browns went 5-11 and had ego clashes and a bunch of people got pissed off at each other every single week. We've seen that before from Odell Beckham. We've seen Baker Mayfield lose his cool before. John Dorsey got ran out of Kansas City, and he's considered one of the best talent evaluators in the entire league. So they've added the pieces. I just wonder, there's one football. We're not totally positive Baker Mayfield is the guy. I like him. I'm a fan of Baker Mayfield. But we've also seen other quarterbacks have strong rookie campaigns and not pan out the rest of their career, whether you want to talk Mark Sanchez or you want to talk RG3, whatever. I just think that there should be some concern and some reservations about what we see from Cleveland this upcoming year. So, Fez, if you were to make a smart play and you were to look at Cleveland right now and you were to say, all right, over-under win totals for the year, if you had to project, what are you thinking the over-under win total for the Browns this upcoming season is going to be?
I make the number 9. I think that's the right number. And that I went ahead and coordinated with RJ, and he tweeted out yesterday his expected wins in the AFC North, and he tweeted out Cleveland, 9 wins. That's at RJ in Vegas, of course, and that's what we think the number should be. Now, what we expect the number to actually be with all this irrational exuberance is probably it's going to come higher, 9.5. And I got to tell you, Jonas, if they put up a 10, I'm going to make one of my biggest bets under 10 wins because I agree with you. Although Cleveland could win 11 games, the wheels could absolutely come off if things go wrong early on. They could have some coaching problems, and then you could see Beckham not fitting in so well with his new teammates. They certainly could have a losing year as well.
And to Brad's point, I thought it was a good one. You know, they're bringing in a head coach who I don't think, look, we've seen this in the NBA. If Luke Walton wasn't a former Laker, is he a head coach in the NBA right now? I don't know that he is. The Lakers gave him the job when nobody else was pursuing Luke Walton to be a head coach. The Browns gave Kitchens the job when nobody was pursuing Freddie Kitchens to be a head coach. So to me, when you get that, it's a guy who doesn't have the experience, and then he's got to deal with personalities. Brad, I think you were spot on. How is he going to handle this when they start infighting or there starts to be some bad attitudes or I'm not getting the ball, you're getting the ball more than I am, or they have a couple of bad games? I think to your point, this is going to be a lot to handle for Freddie Kitchens.
No question with being a first-time head coach. And it's not like there's extra leadership anywhere else. It's an entirely new coaching staff. You got a new offensive coordinator, new defensive coordinator, a lot of moving parts and different pieces than what you've had in past rosters. I mean, if you go back the last 3 years, this whole Cleveland roster, for the most part, has been overhauled. So it'll be very interesting to see how these different personalities, whether it be on the coaching staff or the players, kind of integrate. And I'd much rather have a guy, whether it be a GM, an owner, a head coach that has prior experience dealing with all that. You don't have that in Cleveland.
And oftentimes when you see a team that's been down for so long and suddenly they are made the favorite, that can be a area or a new situation that they don't deal well with being the team.
Jacksonville last year.
Yeah, yes. That everyone else is gunning for in the division.
And you mentioned the favorite. Colin Cowherd also spoke earlier today on Fox Sports Radio about the division and how the AFC North could look this upcoming season.
You go ahead and bury the Steelers, but I'm going to remind you of a few things. Number one is they've already got a number one receiver in place. And in my lifetime, no team in the NFL has drafted skill people better than Pittsburgh. They're going to be fine at wide receiver. Second thing is, don't you think it's fair to say that Mike Tomlin and Big Ben specifically will probably be a little motivated this year? Number three is, the Steelers have the best offensive line in football according to Pro Football Focus. Oh, and by the way, the Steelers this morning are something they never are. Underdogs. They've got the best owner in the division, the best quarterback in the division, arguably the best coach in the division, and a very competent GM. You think Pittsburgh's going to disappear? My money? Pittsburgh Steelers win the division.
And that was Colin Cowherd earlier today on Fox Sports Radio. I 100% agree. I actually thought about this when Antonio Brown was dealt from the Steelers to the Raiders. Everyone talked about, man, Antonio Brown's going to be motivated. Let me tell you who's going to be motivated. Ben Roethlisberger, who's been painted as the biggest pain in the ass as a teammate. If there's anybody that's going to be motivated to show, I can do this without my best wide receiver from the year before, because he's done it so many times before, whether it be Emmanuel Sanders and some of the other receivers that have been there that have moved on, I think the Steelers are primed to have a good season.
Yeah, and currently, what are the odds you have on the Steelers to win the division, Brad?
Yeah, Colin's right. Steelers are an underdog in the division. Despite the fact the Browns haven't won a division title since 1989, right now the Browns are the favorite in the AFC North. Plus 125 on the Browns, meaning if you bet $100, you would win $125 on Cleveland. Next in line are the Steelers, plus 250, followed by the Ravens, plus 275, and then Fez's Bengals bringing up the rear at 8-1. I got to be honest with you. Pittsburgh at plus 250 looks like there's some value there. I wholeheartedly agree with Colin that Pittsburgh, at least lately under Mike Tomlin, has always been better when they're kind of thrown in the trash and a chip on their shoulder when it comes to the underdog role. I like the value there at the Steelers.
I like the value as well, plus 250. Let's think about this. When we're wagering on anything, when we're making an investment, what do we want to do? We want to buy low. So imagine we went back 12 months ago. And I told you, you know what? In 2019, you can bet the Pittsburgh Steelers to win the division and I'll give you a plus 250. 100 wins you 250. You would jump at it. First, you'd check, hey, did something happen to Big Ben? Is he out of the league? Did he finally retire? Okay, he didn't. He's going to play. What could possibly have happened to take the clear-cut dominant team in the division and suddenly make them more than a 2-1 underdog versus the Bengals, versus the Baltimore Ravens, who just lost four starters on defense, and that's the area of their team that is their strength, and the Cleveland Browns? The Browns have only won 8 games the last 3 years.
Yeah, it's going to be a really, really fun division to watch. Straight out of Vegas here, Fox Sports Radio. We are brought to you by Maaco. You might not be able to get a new car with your tax refund, but you can make your car feel like it's brand new. All it needs is a great paint job. Come into Maaco today and get your dream paint job during their tax season sales event. Jonas Knox, Steve Fezzik, Brad Powers here on Fox Sports Radio. Coming up next, one team in the NFL might have made the biggest mistake in recent history. We'll tell you who that is next here on Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Straight Outta Vegas here, Fox Sports Radio. Jonas Knox here. RJ Bell is out, but we are alongside Steve Fezzik and here to bring us our weather from Vegas, our special weather correspondent. He flew all the way back from Atlanta, home of the Weather Channel, to be here on the Strip, and his name is Bradley Powers. Bradley?
Yeah, we enjoy bringing the fun of Vegas to you each and every day. And right now, the temperature on the Strip is 59 degrees, and the neon is blustering.
Okay,
Jonas, well, back to you.
Well done there, live from Vegas, Bradley Powers. All right, guys, so the other aspect of this, and we've been talking a lot about this Odell Beckham trade, just how it affects the Cleveland Browns, the division, their Super Bowl odds, all of that. Cleveland is buzzing over the addition of Odell Beckham Jr., but there's always a flip side to everything, and that flip side is, what about the Giants? Well, the Giants end up with a first-round pick this year. They end up with a third-round pick, and then they get Jabril Peppers, who basically slides right in and takes over where Landon Collins left via free agency to the Washington Redskins. So now it becomes, you're the Giants. You just lost potentially your best player and one of the most talented players in the league, Steve Fezzik. What do the odds say on the Giants' season looking ahead?
Well, I have their season win projected at 5.5 wins. So I currently have the Giants as my 28th rated team in the NFL. Brad, you got some updated Super Bowl odds for the Giants?
Yeah, so the Giants actually, Jonas, opened up 40-1. And again, this is prior to this year's Super Bowl, betting already the next year's Super Bowl. 40-1 when it opened, but now after the Odell Beckham trade, the Giants are 80-1. So basically, Jonas, they went from being right around the 20th rated team as far as future odds go in Vegas. Now at 80-1, there's only 5 teams that have worse odds than the Giants right now at 80-1.
I actually think the Giants made the mistake a couple of years ago, because I think the Giants went to the playoffs that one year when they lost to Green Bay in the opening round, and I thought that they expected to be better than they were. And the only reason I know that is because I expected to be better than they were. And I thought they were going to win the division the year before. I thought they'd win it last year. I picked them both times. And if you guys remember, we talked about this during the year when they traded Snacks Harrison. And I remember thinking to myself at the time, and we even discussed it in a pre-show meeting. I'm like, man, you know what? I think they just overestimated how good they were going to be. And I think that it finally dawned on them, wow, we're not a good football team. We're actually farther away than we realized, and that was after they gave the contract to Odell Beckham. I give them credit for being able to get what they got, because they did get some value for Odell Beckham Jr., but this is a full-on rebuild. So, Fez, looking ahead, how do you see them stacking up in the division? Are they the worst team in the East right now?
Oh, absolutely. It's not even close. And if you take a look at the Giants, it's a curious situation, because they're absolutely full-blown rebuilding mode, and yet Eli Manning is still the starting quarterback. And Eli Manning is so past his prime. Jonas, right now I have Eli as rated my number 30 quarterback in the NFL. So it's a situation, you don't want an aging Hall of Fame quarterback that can't play a lick anymore, that no longer has any playmakers. This could get really ugly. The Giants could be the worst team in the NFL by the middle of the year.
And the guy I feel the worst for is Saquon Barkley, because all you have to do is load the box and hope Eli Manning was throwing balls that looked like turds on fire last year half the time. I mean, he was terrible, and he's been terrible for a couple of years now. You can see a clear regression in his game, and they can't do the things that they want to do, and that's why Odell Beckham would get so frustrated because he couldn't get a ball thrown from Eli Manning. Saquon Barkley, what's the alternate threat on offense outside of Saquon Barkley? I think this is going to damage his career growth because there is nothing else on that offense that scares you. It's either Saquon Barkley or bust.
Yeah, Sterling Shepard is not going to suddenly go for 1,600 yards. And let's face it, if you take a look at how important Beckham was to making Manning look good with his numbers, how many slants did Beckham catch and then take it to the house for 60 yards with that speed? Here's a comparison of Eli's numbers with and without Beckham. Eli completes 64% of his passes. He has a very capable quarterback rating of 92 when he had Beckham. Well, without him, he only completes 60% of his passes. His quarterback rating goes down to 79, which is really poor. So just missing one key playmaker turns Eli from a below-average quarterback to a bottom-starting quarterback in the league.
I just wonder if Ben McAdoo somewhere, every time he sees another just a loss by the Giants or they have to do this or make this drastic move, I wonder if he just does like the old-school D-Generation X crotch chop to the TV screen every time he sees them, because he tried to tell people 2 years ago, Eli Manning is done. He's finished. He gave Eli Manning the opportunity to start a game at Oakland, but he was going to pull him at halftime because he wanted to see what Geno Smith had, and they wanted to look towards the future, and he got crushed for it. It was 100% the right move. Eli Manning threw a hissy fit, cried in his locker because he didn't want to give the appearance that he was thinking about himself and he was going to lose his consecutive start streak. They told you 2 years ago, and the Giants organization listened to their fans, which you should never, ever do, and now they're here 2 years later. They've traded away everyone of value. They've got a running back who they should just go ahead and trade away now because you're going to get him killed on that offense. This is a terrible spot for the Giants to be in. And I agree with you, Fez. They may be one of the worst teams in football.
Yeah, but I'm not going to give McAdoo any credit for anything because that elongated playbook Denny's menu that he used to call the plays from single-handedly, I think, contributed my weight gain 2 years ago and last year from watching that on the sideline, making me think about Denny's.
Oh, come on. Jeez. I mean, what's wrong with Denny's? You know, not a fan of Denny's? Come on. Coffee's
my
not bad.
My waistline isn't.
That's all right. Listen, we live and we learn. All right, straight out of Vegas here, Fox Sports Radio. All right, we do want to get to another big story out of the NFL. There was a move that was made, and somebody is getting criticized. But we'll tell you why they actually may have done the smart thing. That's coming up next here on Straight Outta Vegas. But for all the latest from around the world of sports, it's Dan Byer.
The new league year is here. We just don't know where Teddy Bridgewater's going. Yesterday, reports said that he was going to go to New Orleans and continue to be the backup to Drew Brees. Well, now an ESPN report says that Bridgewater is on his way to Miami to meet with the Dolphins tonight. Antonio Brown met his new team today, introduced today as a member of the Oakland Raiders.
For me to be here in Oakland, a part of the Oakland Raiders, and be able to be on the last team that will ever be here in Oakland is something special in itself. So it's pressure in that, it's excitement in that, and I'm here today ready to embrace all that.
And he's not the only new receiver in Oakland. Tyrell Williams, formerly of the Chargers, is getting a four-year deal to play for the Raiders. Running back Adrian Peterson returning to the Redskins on a two-year contract, while the 49ers gave running back Tevin Coleman a two-year deal worth about $10 million, according to reports. And the Kansas City Chiefs released veteran safety Eric Berry today. The Seahawks have come to terms on a one-year deal with linebacker Michael Kendricks. Kendricks, though, will be sentenced on April 4th after pleading guilty to insider trading charges. Couple of notes in the NBA. No Kevin Durant tonight for the Warriors against the Rockets, out with an ankle injury. Warriors forward Draymond Green has signed on with Clutch Sports. And in the Pac-12 tournament, USC beat Arizona 78-65. After the game, in the post-game press conference, Arizona head coach Sean Miller was asked about his future multiple times and would not comment. Back to you guys.
Thanks, Dan. Straight out of Vegas here, Fox Sports Radio. Coming up in about 5 minutes from now here on FSR, we will give you an an early look ahead to the 7 Eastern time tip-off in the NBA. Make sure you stick around for that. Jonas Knox here along with Steve Fezzik and Brad Powers. RJ Bell is out for today. So, guys, another move in the NFL. This was a big one that took place late last night. The Le'Veon Bell sweepstakes are over. Le'Veon Bell signing with the New York Jets, a 4-year deal worth a reported $52.5 million and $35 million guaranteed. Le'Veon Bell now a member of the New York Jets. So, Steve Fezzik, the odds on the Jets, what are we looking at now in Vegas?
Yeah, and actually, Jonas, the Jets, again, the opening odds had the Jets one of the bottom 5-6 teams in the NFL, 100-1 prior to this year's Super Bowl to win next year's Super Bowl. Now the Jets, after a couple of trades, not only Le'Veon Bell, but getting a really good linebacker starter in C.J. Mosley, the Jets have went from 100-1 to 60-1. Where does that place the Jets? Right around, if you stacked rank them as who has the best odds to win the Super Bowl, Jonas. The Jets, now 21 as far as Super Bowl odds go.
And I actually have the Jets, my 25th rated team. When I stack rank them, I think the Jets are going to win 6 or 7 games. And a key issue here is no matter how good a running back is, and Bell's a really good running back, but they just don't move the needle in Vegas. And frankly, no non-quarterback position player ever moves a team's season win projection by even half a game. So even though you hear from the fantasy guys, oh, he's unstoppable, it's such a great addition, it really very rarely makes any kind of significant change in a team's projected wins. I think instead of winning 6 games, now the Jets will win 6 or 7 games. It is an upgrade, but the Jets still a significantly below average team.
You know, it's like I was in such a deep sleep last night, and I was trying to think, and I don't know if I was dreaming this or if it actually happened, but I could have sworn. All right, I'm just gonna paint my dream out for you guys here. All right, so here I am. It's like I don't know, 3:45 in the afternoon, Pacific Standard Time, around that time, and it's a Tuesday. And then I could have sworn that I was kind of put on the spot to set an over under on the yearly salary for Le'Veon Bell when he signs his new contract. And I put it at 12.5. And I could have sworn that two guys who are really, really good at sports betting and gambling, they said, no, we'll bet you the under. But again, I don't know if that was just a dream or if that actually happened. Brad, do you have any insight on that as to how that went down?
Yeah, that unfortunately did happen. It wasn't 3:45. I got it at right around 3:52 and 30 seconds. Final 30 seconds of the show.
Right.
Jonas, of all people, got the best of not only me, Brad Powers, but also RJ Bell. We both bet the under, and boy, if my third grade math is correct, 4 years, $52.5 million. I think that's over $12.5 million per year. Is it not, Jonas?
Yeah, listen, my girlfriend is Mexican. I talked to her after the show, and she told me that actually free agency in Spanish is Jonas. So I was able to confirm with that. That's what I do. I'm a free agent guy. All right, if you guys want the numbers, I'm crunching them here, and I'm telling you how it's going to go beforehand. In all seriousness, though, there's a lot of feedback from people, especially in Pittsburgh, saying, man, Le'Veon Bell made a giant mistake. He left $14 million on the table. The Steelers offered him guaranteed money. Everything that I've heard is the actual guaranteed dollar amount that the Steelers offered Le'Veon Bell was no more than $17 million. That's what I've heard. There are some people who are saying $33 million, whatever. So if he got $17 million guaranteed from the Steelers, and then he ends up with and anywhere between the actual numbers we've got to wait for him, $28 to $35 million guaranteed from the Jets, he absolutely did the right thing. He wanted more guaranteed dollars. There's no guarantee that if he would have played last year on the franchise tag that he wouldn't have gotten hurt, and then who knows what would have happened. So I actually think some of the pushback on Le'Veon Bell that he made a mistake, I kind of disagree with. I think he did the right thing. You can question whether or not he's really into football. You can question if he's more into the rap game. I know Brad, Fez, there's been questions about weight gain. I mean, some of those reports were out there. What was it, Brad, that it was 240 he was walking around at?
No. 260 was some of the rumors out there.
Yeah, that is. So, again, those are some questions and concerns, obviously. But I just think for him personally, I mean, when you can get your guaranteed money like he wanted to get, yeah, the annual amount is less than Todd Gurley. We talked about maybe that would have an impact on it. But I think Le'Veon Bell got what he was after, which is the guaranteed dollar amount.
And you bring up a great point, Jonas, because that guaranteed money is so important because let's face it, that every million you make becomes less and less important. Whether you make $60 million or $100 million, as they said in Wall Street, how big of a yacht do you really need to water ski behind? But being able to get that first $10 million guaranteed or that first $20 million, the guarantee is more significant.
And I talked to a guy who's a former NFL player, and he told me, you know, the best division to sign a contract in? And I said, what's that? He said, the AFC South. I was like, why? He goes, because Jacksonville's in Florida, no state income tax. Tennessee, no state income tax. You've got Indianapolis, but then you've got Houston as well, too. So Indianapolis is the only state that charges a tax there. If you want to make money and make as much money as you can, go to the AFC South. So when you see these guys sign contracts in the South or the AFC South and you think, my God, that division's boring. Why would you want to play there? You end up making a little bit more money. So.
Except you might not play for as long against some of those defenses that reside in the AFC South.
Yeah, but it's all about the money. Who cares about playing? I want the cash. All right, guys, speaking of the money, we do have an NBA game tipping off at the top of the hour, a little over 20 minutes from now, a 7 Eastern time start. This is our promise to you. We want you guys to have as much time as possible to get these bets in. And so we go to the NBA, we go to Oklahoma City on ESPN, where the Nets are at the Thunder right now on pregame.com. OKC is a 7.5-point favorite.
And I'm going to lean to Brooklyn, just a lean plus 7.5. Oklahoma City may be distracted off their Monday win against Utah. Westbrook with his altercation with the Utah fan or fans. So a distraction there. And Oklahoma City, first game home after a 4-game road stand. I hate that when you come back after that long road trip. And now, you know what? These guys do have lives and they do have some commitments. And they got to go ahead and take care of things when they get back from that road trip. But it's just a lean. The reason being is that my power ratings actually make Oklahoma City 5 points better than Brooklyn. If I add in 3 for home court, now my numeric number would be Oklahoma City minus 8. So I'm getting shorted on the number. So I'm going to pass and just lean to Brooklyn.
One quick note on the Utah Jazz and the Oklahoma City or Russell Westbrook altercation the other night. We were talking about this a little bit yesterday, Fez, before the show. And just kind of, okay, how could Vegas take advantage of a situation like that? It's a bad situation, but you guys are always about the money and the numbers. Leave the emotions out of it. If you're the Utah Jazz and you notoriously have a great home court advantage, if all of a sudden now there's this scrutiny on how your fans treat players like there is, do you think you could see a more mild home court for the Utah Jazz, and maybe that would impact how you guys would look at these games moving forward and how to bet them?
Normally so. However, unfortunately, I firmly believe that Denver and Utah, because of the altitude, that their home court is never valued enough. If you look at historically what teams have the biggest home court advantages, it's Denver and Utah because of that altitude, especially if you have to come in on a long road trip or on a back-to-back. So unfortunately, this is a case where I wanted to bet on Utah most of the time at home and on Denver most of the time at home. And maybe now I just pass on some bets I normally would make on the Jazz at home.
There he is, Steve Fezzik, Brad Powers, Jonas Knox. This is Straight Out of Vegas here on Fox Sports Radio. I want to let you know we are brought to you by Maaco. You might not be able to get a new car with your tax refund, but you can make your car feel like it's brand new. All it needs is a great paint job. Come into Maaco today and get your dream paint job during their tax season sales event. Coming up next, there is a major conspiracy brewing in the world of football. We'll have it for you next here on Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Out of Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
Straight Out of Vegas here, Fox Sports Radio. RJ Bell is out. I'm Jonas Knox alongside Steve Fezzik and Brad Powers. We have got some conspiracy theory stuff going on, guys. We've also got a look ahead at the back half of the doubleheader in the NBA on ESPN. But we're going to get to the fun stuff first. All right, we're going to get to the conspiracy theory stuff, okay? Because Kyler Murray, the Heisman Trophy winner, he's been the talk of the NFL Combine, the talk of the draft. He had his pro day earlier today in Norman, Oklahoma. Joel Klatt, Fox Sports college football analyst, was at the pro day, and he spoke about it on Fox Sports Radio earlier today.
Kyler's going to be the first pick, Colin. He threw the ball so well today. It was effortless. He threw it as well as Baker did last year or better. Great RPMs on the ball, threw it really well down the field. It is noted, I did not see Steve Keim nor Cliff Kingsbury of Arizona, but they are scheduled to work him out privately next week. Firmly believe Arizona is going to take Kyler. He was terrific today. Effortless thrower of the football.
So that was Joel Klatt, Fox Sports college football analyst, heard earlier today on The Herd on Fox Sports Radio. So Brad Powers, you are a college football expert. You've been all over this Kyler Murray situation. He threw well at his pro day. But what about his pro day doesn't really sit too well with you, Brad Powers?
Well, first off, let's list the odds. And Joel Klatt's right. Kyler Murray's likely to go number one right now. The odds for Kyler Murray to be the first overall pick in the NFL draft up to -400. What does -400 mean? It means 80%+ chance that Kyler Murray is the number one pick. But I thought it was rather interesting that Kyler Murray decided not to run a 40 today. That's known one of his best qualities, and he's a super quick player. That's one thing. But the one that's really concerning to me, and this is what kind of gets into the conspiracy theory, Kyler Murray didn't get measured height-wise again today. And I got to think, if you're really 5'10", what's it matter? All right, take my shoes off and get measured again. Okay, I'm 5'10". But today, Kyler Murray, unlike what was first reported after the combine and some of these conspiracy theories came out, did not get measured today.
And we were all in Atlanta with Kyler Murray, and he stood alongside of R.J. Bell. And R.J. is just slightly below 5'11", 5'10 and a half, call it. And frankly, R.J., I don't want to say he towered over Kyler Murray, but he was clearly significantly taller, and yet Kyler Murray measured at the combine in at 5'10". Don't understand it, Jonas.
First of all, I love the conspiracy theory. This is fascinating. This is so much more interesting than talking about the NBA. I'm just going to be honest, okay? The fact that I'm looking at this one of two ways. The fact that a guy who just won the Heisman Trophy has to, if he did lie, if he did embellish his height, the fact that a guy who just won the Heisman Trophy had to lie about how tall he is just to be taken seriously, that's maybe an issue that we might want to look into as far as evaluating talent in the NFL. But also, I look at it like this. The fact that he did lie, if he did lie, would be a bit of a red flag. You know, like, it's not the worst thing in the world if you go out and early on when you meet somebody and you're thinking about dating them, you think you guys are going to have this relationship. If you find out that they were, instead of paying for soda at a Carl's Jr. or a Hardee's, they were actually buying a water cup and then filling it up with soda. Not the biggest deal in the world, but the fact that they would do that might be a telltale sign. What else are they willing to lie about? And so if this is true, and he did cheat, or his numbers were inflated at the combine, it's the smallest thing in the world, but it's still something to think about if I'm an NFL team.
Just win, baby.
I don't know, man. That's very, very strange to me. And then he bulks all the way up. And, Brad, what was he playing at, about a $190 in college? That was the story?
Yeah, playing weight for Kyler Murray is right around a $190, $195 tops, and he's now weighed at what, 204 and 207. Maybe that's one of the reasons he didn't run the 40. He's playing right now, his current weight, 10, 15 pounds heavier than what he's accustomed to. So instead of running that 4.4, which is where the odds were coming into today on what he would run in the 40, maybe he was a little worried he was going to run 4.5 or a little bit slower, and that would have dampened his stock. That doesn't concern me as much as the fact, hey, if you're 5'10", why don't you just go out there and get measured again and squash all those uncircumcisions that are out there.
It's like when the Manti Te'o story came out, and Manti Te'o was one of the best players in college football, and Notre Dame was in the national championship game, and everyone said, oh, big deal, it's a catfish story. I remember saying at the time, man, I'm not spending a first-round pick on some guy who lied about having a fake dead girlfriend. I'm sorry. It maybe isn't a big deal to you, but at least make it a blow-up doll. At least make it something that I can see with my own two eyes. He lied about a relationship, found out he had gotten catfished, and then continued to lie about it. It's not the biggest thing in the world, but I do think it's something. So if he did, in fact, cheat at the combine to get his height inflated, and then just after saying, and by the way, they did say that they were going to be measured, they were going to weigh in and run the 40 at the combine. If all of a sudden they come back and all these days later he decides not to do it, I don't know. I just think it's a little bit fishy there, but we all love a conspiracy theory. All right, guys, we do have the back half of a doubleheader on ESPN. We talked about the Nets and the Thunder earlier. Steve Fezzik, Warriors at the Rockets. It's a 9:30 Eastern time tip-off, and right now Houston is a 4-point favorite on pregame.com.
And I like Houston minus four. I bet Houston earlier today in this game. Houston is undervalued with their big three back, Capella, Paul, and Harden. Now, last year, this group went on a 50-5 straight up run. They've been quite good this year, better than Vegas expects. When all three of these guys play, Houston is 17-13 against the spread, Jonas. So they've been undervalued. And in fact, I have Golden State and Houston ranked as my number two and number three best teams in the NBA, and they're very comparable regular season ratings right now. So if the game's in Houston, Houston should be favored by 3 to 3.5 points. Well, why is Houston favored by 4? Because Kevin Durant is out of the game. So if you're going to tell me that Durant is only worth 1 point, then this line makes sense. Clearly, to me, Durant's more likely worth 3 points. There's value with the Rockets, even at the current number, minus four. I like Houston.
Can you guys get just a general thought on the NBA as we come down the backstretch here? When we start to see these teams jockeying for playoff position, can you take anything from these late games and bring them into the postseason? Or is the postseason, from a betting standpoint, just a completely different animal?
I think it's a completely different animal. Look no further than Golden State, and really a lot of it's about motivation. They go out and kill Denver in a game against the second-best team in the West record-wise, and then the very next game, they're at home against Phoenix, and all they lose is a 16.5-point favorite, an occurrence that happens roughly once every 5 years in the NBA.
At 9 Eastern time, we have got a Big Ten tournament matchup, Illinois versus Northwestern. Steve Fezzik, the pride of Northwestern, but we're not talking to you. We're talking to the college man himself, Brad Powers. Brad, right now, Illinois, a 3.5-point favorite. Who you got?
Yeah, I like Illinois and bet Illinois minus the 3.5 here. And to me, it's all about a couple of injury concerns for Northwestern. Two of their top three players, Vic Law and Ryan Taylor, are questionable tonight. I actually hope they play because I get some value here at the 3.5 because why? They'll probably most likely be less than 100%. This line right now says that at least one, if not both of them, will play in this game. Even if they do, they won't be 100%. Take Illinois, the team that's ascending under their second-year head coach, against a fading Northwestern team.
You're right, Phil.
I'm a Northwestern grad, and I, too, bet on Illinois. I'm a mercenary. It's all about just getting the money.
There he is. We are straight out of Vegas. The Odd Couple is next here on Fox Sports Radio. We will be back tomorrow, 6 p.m. Eastern time, 3 o'clock Pacific, right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Straight out of Vegas!
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live. Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.